This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Hi, I'm Greg Gutfeld, along with Judge Jeanine Pirro, Harold Ford Jr., Jesse Waters, and she got her hand-me-downs from Raggedy Ann, Dana Perino, The Five. We're in white.
Today was breathtaking. In this room, you saw what went on. It was breathtaking. And amazing testimony. Open your eyes. And we can't let this continue to happen to our country. The U.S. Supreme Court had a monumental hearing on immunity. I heard the meeting was quite amazing, and the justices were on their game. Presidential immunity is imperative, or you practically won't have a country anymore.
Donald Trump unleashing on the dueling Democrat lawfare show trials against him. In a Manhattan courtroom, the hush money one playing out with a feller named Pecker on the stand. And in D.C., the Supreme Court hearing arguments on his immunity claim against Biden's DOJ. But before it all started, the former president getting a hero's welcome from construction workers. The Supremes seem to agree that a sitting president has immunity in some cases, but they disagree on the extent. As for Pecker, Trump's team finally getting their chance to probe him after Bragg's prosecutors went hard on the former National Enquirer head honcho. I did not write this. Pecker testified that burying negative Trump stories was about protecting his campaign, not his family. Pecker also says that he caught and killed for many famous people who were running for office, like former California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger and Barack Obama's chief of staff and former Chicago mayor Rahm Emanuel. But one thing prosecutors haven't clarified yet is what law did any of this break? This is the thing, Judge. It seems like the goal has always been to confuse the public. No one gets beyond the phrases like hush money or fake electors. And if you ask a Democrat to explain in detail why Trump's in court and what's going on, they don't know. They'll say like 91 charges and they don't have any clue. What do you think?
Well, I think it's great to have you back at the table.
Thank you. I feel wonderful.
Yes, and you look wonderful, too. Look, the prosecution is alleging that this is a conspiracy, which means it involves more than two people, to promote or affect an election by unlawful means. Mm-hmm. Any prosecutor knows that the most important witness is the first witness. Mm-hmm. David Pecker was not a significant witness for the prosecution. And I'll tell you why. Because there is no crime. Mm-hmm. An NDA is something that celebrities engage in all the time. People in the science community, in the tech community, sign NDAs all the time. This is just a way of doing business. So if you look at the business record in question, it says for legal services. Okay, the money is to Cohen for legal services. So if they're trying to say, no, it's really for a federal election, then why is it that the feds didn't prosecute? Mm. Why is it that the feds looked at this and made a decision not to cover it? And what I don't like about what happened today was that Pecker said he assumed it was for the campaign. And we know Pecker didn't have any conversation with Trump about this. There is no direct conversation. So that he assumed it, I would have been on my feet and objected. But this judge isn't going to sustain a rightful objection by Donald Trump. And finally, how is it that Pecker is going forward alleging all of this when he said nothing? Mm-hmm. A non-disclosure, a non-compete, I mean, that is something that is part of the law. I'll tell you why. Pecker has signed an immunity agreement. And these prosecutors are so tough, whether it's Colangelo from the Department of Justice that Joe Biden sent down to the local DA to help. Becker knows if he goes one line away from what he's supposed to say, his butt is going to be shipped to the state prison. Mm. And that's why this whole thing is so absurd. It's a nothing burger.
Mm. There you go. Dana, we've talked about this before, that it's hard to follow all of these cases, but that's the purpose.
Yeah, I think so, too. It was basically flood the zone, mm-hmm. if you know that term.
Where is that from? Sports?
I'm not sure.
Water polo?
Maybe from the water park.
Yes.
I don't actually really don't know where that's from. But anyway, flooding is a maybe it's basketball.
Football?
Okay, anyway.
Typical.
More to come and one more thing on that. Anyway, yes, I do think they're confused. I don't think Democrats can answer it. But I do know this. I follow Ruth Marcus. She's a liberal columnist at The Washington Post. She said, why, oh, why did this have to be the first case to get attention? Because it is a terrible case to all the reasons that the judges laid out. Then I read about the legal scholar that the New York Times gave a lot of space to for an op-ed yesterday. Well, I think it's in today's paper. And he said, I used to think it was a mistake, and now I think it's a historical huge mistake. Like, he thinks it's a gigantic problem that the Democrats are doing this and that it will hurt them forever. Jonathan Turley said something good today. He said, Alvin Bragg is probably the best lawyer Donald Trump has right now. The Manhattan case is legally absurd. What I thought was amazing today is President Trump starts his day by getting up and going to visit construction workers, surprising them, shaking hands. And what do they chant? We love Trump. We love Trump. And there's all these videos now that are going viral. Biden doesn't have anything like that today. I mean, he's up there giving away a lot of money in Syracuse for chips. Okay, great. But he's not actually doing the campaigning. And that's why I think you see these battleground state polls either holding steady for Trump or even gaining in places like North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. That's fun. It's a great contrast, Jesse, the USA, USA chants with Trump. And on the Democrat side, you have protesters chanting death to America.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last time Biden was with construction workers, he pointed in the guy's face and said, you're full of ash, baby. And I'm just wondering, because the Democrats have been saying Trump's this genocidal dictator, and he's going to get into office, he's going to murder journalists, and he's never going to leave office. You'd expect him to get in this courtroom and start, like, lunging at the judge, like that felon in Vegas, like Superman, or, like some maniac starting to, like, represent himself, like some crazy man, or, like, show up to court an hour late like Michael Jackson did with his pajamas. What's he doing? I mean, he's, like, the most well-behaved genocidal dictator we've ever seen. Shows up on time. He sits and he listens. He takes direction. He pays his fines, posts his bonds. And he's actually showing deference and discipline, but deference to the institutions that the Democrats say he's trying to blow up. He's actually refuting all of the hoaxes they're throwing at him by sitting pretty docilely and obeying the corrupt sham trial that he's going through. The Supreme Court justices are hearing this case, and I'm just imagining if they don't give a president immunity, then I'm going to get a lawyer to charge Joe Biden with human smuggling. And I'm going to get a lawyer to charge Joe Biden when he leaves with cocaine possession, because they found coke at his house. Now, if they found coke at my house, even if it was Jesse Jr.'s and he didn't cop to it, that charge falls on me.
Absolutely.
And I'm also, I'm going to charge him, too, with killing whales, because his windmills are slaughtering the endangered species, and that's 10 to 20. I'm going to charge Barack Obama with forgery, because we know the birth certificate wasn't real.
Jesse. Oh.
But I can find a lawyer to do that, just as ridiculous as Alvin Bragg, to file frivolous charges against ex-presidents, as long as they link it to some partisan judge. You can just burn out a former president in legal fees.
There you go. Harold, Judge Jeanine brought up Matthew Colangelo. He was this D.C. prosecutor, worked for the Biden DOJ, leaves D.C., and surprise, comes to a smaller court. Why? Because to handle the Trump case, how is that not collaboration between the White House and prosecution?
We should ask him. I don't think, first of all, I'm glad to see you back. You look great.
You look good.
I echo everything
you
the judge
the
said. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Nice to meet you.
The president is innocent until proven guilty, as you said. Judge, I would push back on one thing you said, that Mr. Pecker actually signed a non-prosecution agreement. So he'd be prosecuted. That's what's probably in his head. He wouldn't be shipped to jail right away.
He'd be prosecuted and convicted because he agreed to testify a certain way.
Right.
Well, they're called that. That's what it is. It's immunity.
It's a non-prosecution agreement. They're different things, but it's a non-prosecution agreement. Third thing is, Pecker testified today. Third thing is, he did the right thing, Dan. Everything you've been saying all week long. Waking up this morning and seeing him in Harlem, that juxtaposition of that picture, it should say to the White House, even more what you're trying to do, you got to do more of. I don't know, understand why President Biden won't release whatever executive orders he's going to do around the border. He should be doing that now. Because I think what the president is doing, what former President Trump is doing, is pretty effective outside of the courtroom before he goes in, and even when he's up working with people or shaking hands with people, and the Trump thing being yelled in his people yelling for him. Finally, Mr. Pecker's testimony today I thought was interesting. I'm not Kevin, seen anything to convince me that Mr. Trump is guilty, but I differ a little bit, Judge. I think he laid out a story. I think the prosecution thinks if they can show that there was an agreement amongst a few people, including President Trump, or at least between two entities, President Trump's team and Mr. Pecker's team, around payments for certain things, to either kill stories or to plant stories, all in an effort to benefit the campaign. I think you said, well, Judge, Mr. Pecker said that he assumed that all of this was for the campaign and not to protect his family. Which is where the legal rub begins to come in. Again, I hadn't seen anything that persuade me, but I understand what Mr. Bragg and his team is trying to do, and we'll see if they get there. But Mr. Trump's got to be pleased with how he's entering the courtroom, because I think, that, again, the pictures, the optics of him campaigning are about as powerful and as good as he can do not being on the campaign trail.
There you go, an endorsement of Donald Trump from Harold Ford Jr.
I'm for Joe Biden, but I'm saying that. All I'm saying is Trump's doing a good job campaigning.
Whatever. All right, coming up, Trump hair plagiarist Joy Reid is treating the indictments like the Bible.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
The media loves to smear Trump supporters as a brainwashed cult, but they should look in the mirror. One liberal anchor says she treats Trump's indictments like the Bible. What
did you say? I forgot my copy of my book. I always bring the Trump indictments book everywhere I go. I take it around
that.
Like Trump takes his pretend Bible that he wrote the open to.
And it wouldn't be a cult without some secret meetings. Politico reporting that anti-Trump legal pundits are holding private, off-the-record Zoom calls where they discuss the former president's latest legal drama. And while liberals are busy focusing on keeping Trump hunkered down in court, 45 is turning the Democrats' political persecution into a campaign platform.
We're going to be doing a rally at Madison Square Garden, we believe. We think we're signing Madison Square Garden to do it. We're going to have a big rally honoring the police and honoring the firemen and everybody. Some very big things have happened, but the biggest seems to be that the GDP just announces all the way down to 1.6%, and it's heading south. It's going to get worse. The numbers are very bad. This is Bidenomics. It's catching up with him.
This is the worst president we've ever had. He's destroying our country. Close up the borders, Joe. Our country's going to hell.
Okay, Greg. So they're having an off-the-record Zoom meeting, and that is by competing networks who get together, and they have this Zoom meeting. I want to know, do you think Jeffrey Toobin's going to be invited?
Oh, no, he is. He's at the Zoom call. Interesting. There are no women on that Zoom call, and they told him his hands must always be visible. Mm. He's gonna have a strong grip on the issues. Normal people understand time. People in the media don't. We think about the past, in the present, we anticipate the future, but the media can't do that, right? Because then they would hate themselves. For example, they hold different positions in the past than they do now based on team sports. So they can't look at themselves in the past. In the present, they have to pretend that this is a new and exciting idea, so they seem original, and they can't contemplate the future, or else that would change what they do in the present. So by embracing this lawfare, they actually betray their future selves, because this mob justice will come for them. They're betting stupidly on this idea that there's no future cost to them. So they're living in the now. They're like a drug addict doing a lot of crack, forgetting that there's going to be a hangover coming soon. And that hangover is when all of a sudden the people you don't like are going to be in power, and they're going to be able to do the same thing to you. They are betraying their future selves, just like they betray the American people.
All right, Harold. Joy Reid carries around the Trump indictments as though they're a pretend Bible. Is she worshiping at the wrong altar?
No, she said she carries it around like that President Trump carries around. But I think your larger point is the one I agree with. I think Democrats have to be careful. This is not the moment to pile on. If the law and the facts lead to something that is legally not good for President Trump, let that be the case. But I think the piling on doesn't help. And I think when you consider what President, I was wrong. I think I was corrected. It was not Harlem. Mm-hmm. I thought it was Harlem. I guess he stopped right in Midtown. President Trump did. But the picture, wherever the picture was, it could be in Harlem, could be in the Bronx. He said earlier today he's going to do a rally in the Bronx as well as at Madison Square Garden. These are the kinds of things that make him, I think, the athlete that he is. Again, if I were my side, and I am on my side, if I were at the White House advising, you got to do something on the border. I'd do something on energy. This is the time to do it when he's in court. You have, frankly, all of the media wanting to listen to you. And I'd be doing a little more campaigning, and I would be urging and encouraging those on these calls not to be spiking the ball on the 10-yard line. Let these trials play out. Let the facts play out, and let the juries decide on their own.
Dana, mm-hmm. Harold mentions the border, and Trump on the immigration issue is so far ahead. And now they say that even 42% of the Democrats would support mass deportation.
I feel like you and I can maybe read each other's minds, because I actually had written down, I wanted to bring up that issue of mass deportation.
I'd like to see that.
Because the Democrats don't seem to understand. The headlines say people support Donald Trump's mass deportations, but they don't say why?
Yeah.
Why is because of Joe Biden's actions and policies and 30, you know, that over 3.5 years, you see all of these millions of people coming across. There's no end in sight. He refuses to do anything by executive action. He did 91 executive actions to undo what President Trump did. So people see that. And then you get to a point where now the left will say, oh, my gosh, the right, they're so awful. They want to do mass deportations. Oh, my goodness. On Joy Reid, she did say that she carries it around like a Bible, right?
Yes,
and the Bible gives people meaning and direction. The Trump indictments have given Democrats meaning and direction, and they're praying that the indictments help them, because the issues certainly are not. And on the energy thing, President Biden did do something on energy, and it's horrendous.
I would reverse it, is what I'm saying.
What he just did yesterday was something on the electric grid that my friend sent me a note about. Now I can't remember, but he basically said the whole thing is going to be unreliable if this goes through. And looking at Pennsylvania, all those jobs in Pennsylvania, they're up for grabs. All those votes are up for grabs in Pennsylvania because of what they've done to ban liquefied natural gas.
That's it. That's it.
And I could go on, but I won't.
Okay. So, Jesse, now it's your turn. Trump is talking about having a rally at Madison Square Garden, mm-hmm. and he's even saying that New York may be in play.
I don't think it's in play, but he can peel off a bunch of people in New York. Not that it matters, but there's lots of places in play. And if you look at what Biden is doing and where he's doing and who he's doing it with, the other day he was in the woods with AOC mm-hmm. talking about solar panels. That is talking to a very small slice of the American electorate, and he's really just worried about his base. He's out with a diverse crew of construction workers talking about the top three issues of the country, inflation, immigration, and the economy. He's actually going towards the issues. Joe Biden's running away from them. And then you hear about these people on these Zoom calls. It just makes me think they want it more than we do. Because I don't think maybe Mark Levin or Jonathan Turley have ever even texted each other, let alone spent hours on a Zoom call coordinating legal rhetoric. Mm. But it also, I'm in awe of it, but it also makes me kind of feel bad for them because they're so pathetic because all they have is the Trump resistance. Now, Joy Reid, Democrats believe God is power. When they're in it, they're in heaven. When they're out of it, they're in hell. Mm-hmm. And who is the biggest threat to their power? Is Donald Trump. So Donald Trump is the devil. That's why they think this stack of indictments is like their scripture. It's like the word of God. You saw it when they did, remember Robert Mueller? They worshiped him like an apostle. Remember what they did with Fauci? In Fauci, we trust. There's a religious zealotry when it comes to the way they idolize these people that are supposed to avenge Trump. And I'm getting the same kind of Fauci-Mueller vibes, because what happened to those two guys? Kaput.
Got it.
This will make your blood boil. Pro-terrorist mobs are now spewing their bile at police officers trying to keep Jewish students safe.
Let's get started.
The anti-Israel campus protesters from coast to coast not just harassing Jewish students, but the police officers that are protecting them. College kids even know what they're protesting. A pair of Columbia students who rushed to join NYU's violent anti-Israel rally admitting they have no idea what they're protesting when asked. And Greg, some of the protesters are saying it's the police that are escalating this.
Yeah, yeah. I loved it when Joe Biden said he condemns anti-Semitism, but also he condemns those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians. Well, you just condemned yourself and all of America because nobody knows what's going on, right? We can't depend on the news for that. I have three questions. I'm here to help a protester because I think they're being misguided and they're ruining their lives. Number one, there are three questions. Why are you angry? Why is your anger encouraged by certain authorities? And three, what is it doing to you long term? One, when you're angry, you're being in conflict emotionally means you will have no control in your surroundings. You think you're in control, but as long as you're angry and in a state of anxiety, you can't do anything. So look at our broken borders. Look at the rampant crime, political unrest. All of these keep you in a state of permanent anxiety and, I would say, panic. You can't move on. You can't move up. Number two. Why are they feeding your ego over this? Why are their politicians telling you that you're speaking truth to power? You can say you go girl to a child and that's healthy, but saying it to an adult in an emotional tantrum enables your helplessness. So when people are saying, oh, you keep doing it, you're basically starving you of actual control. It keeps you where you are. Last thing, what does this do to you? What does this constant anger do to you? Look in the mirror, you're getting uglier. You're getting older faster. It's true. Anger ages you faster than any emotion because it requires a consistent supply of energy. So it shows up over time in your face, in your hair, in your body. It's no different than any kind of substance abuse. You can only look young for so long, and then people notice it. I made a chart for you to follow. All right? As anger goes up, ugliness increases. All right, I'm playing to their vanity. You people are not attractive, and you're getting less attractive every day. I would listen to Uncle Greg here and just maybe think about, you know, taking a break.
I mean, Uncle Greg, Brad Pitt, same thing.
Yeah. Well, here's somebody who's angry. Ilhan Omar bashed the speaker who you had on last night, Jesse, on your show. Great interview. Here she is talking about the speaker.
It is not surprising that he would go out to Columbia University and stir up really more anger and hate. For the member who said, you know, like, don't waste your parents' money, they don't want their parents' money to go in supporting a genocide that they oppose. And so I do believe that history is going to be on their side.
And, Jesse, I don't know. I mean, your kids are a little young, but it's take your kid to work day. So Ilhan Omar and her daughter went to protest today at Columbia after Omar got arrested just the other day and said she was homeless and couldn't eat anything.
What did Jesse do with... Wait, who's... Am I supposed to take my kid or is my kid supposed to take me to kindergarten?
You're supposed to bring your kid to work, but he's a little young.
Okay, good. All right, good. Sorry about that.
Next year.
Yeah, I don't know about Omar. I don't really care about her or her daughter. They can do what they want. But at least during the Vietnam War, there was righteous anger. People were getting drafted to go fight in the jungles halfway around the world for a cause they didn't understand. Or the civil rights movement. There was segregated tables. People weren't respected constitutionally. That I understand. This is a war. This is not a genocide. This is a military consequence of a vicious assault on women and children that was way out of hand. And sometimes you have to suffer the consequences when you make one of those assaults like that. To me, the way they chant, it basically looks like every single anti-cop, anti-white, anti-wealth, anti-American. It's a grab bag from the Occupy movement to BLM and now this Hamas stuff. And you're always going to have people at this age that reach out and try to define who they are and try to become a part of something or become against something else. But it really is just based on insecurity. And, you know, Greg is right, but moisturizer helps too. Massage, deep breathing. But you realize how grateful you are to be an American. What's happening right now is not worthy of violence. It's not worthy of the hatred. It's just a war overseas involving two people. It's been going on 1,000 years, and it's not something you need to, you know, stab someone in the eyeball with a Palestinian flag over.
Well, can I defend him? Yeah. Is she getting any help from her stay-at-home brother?
We can ask. But she'll be on Jesse's show at some point.
At 8 o'clock.
I mean, there is a current fight, and it is about hostages, including Americans. And last night, Hamas released a video
of one of the hostages.
Of one of the hostages who is obviously under duress, whose arm has been cut off.
Right.
And he is saying, oh, could you help us, please? Could anybody focus on us?
You know, no one is focusing on the hostages. It's all about hate. And I think it's so rich that Ilhan Omar, of all people, would come out and say that, you know, with the Speaker of the House going to Columbia yesterday, he was stirring up more anger and hate. I mean, that is just so rich, Ilhan, yep, coming from you. But I think it's also rich that we have seen Joe Biden come to New York City during the wake of Officer Jonathan Diller and had 5 hours after he landed before he had his event over here across the street. And he didn't bother to go to the wake of that police officer. And he's coming in tomorrow. I doubt he'll go to, I think he's doing Harold Stern or something, Howard Stern. And yet he's not, I guarantee you, going to Columbia, and he's not going to go to NYU. And yet we've got these students who are dumb. They are just dumb. They don't know what's going on. They actually admitted that they were asked to go to NYU to protest because they needed more protesters. And when they were asked what the issue was and why they were there, they said they didn't know. Yeah. And yet the point that you make is so significant, and that is we're looking at a hostage who's lost his arm since he was taken hostage on October 7th, and we're acting as though no Americans were killed, as though no Americans are being held hostage. Mm-hmm. And Joe Biden is just clueless while Donald Trump is talking about saving this country. And the mob mentality that we're being confronted with right now is so dangerous. Mm-hmm. These kids will do anything at this point. And the Shafiq, the head of the university, she's not going anywhere. The board of directors is behind her.
And the police are basically trying to do the right thing. The other thing that happened today, we found out that University of Southern California is canceling graduation. Oh. They had a situation. So now you have, imagine, you're a graduating senior. You probably didn't get to have graduation from high school because of COVID. You did 2 years of Zoom school. You get 1 year of normal college, and then you have this, and you have to finish your senior year in Zoom school, and you don't get to graduate in a ceremony. Harold, why can't the authorities, like, where's Gavin Newsom saying, we got you, we'll make sure that it's peaceful? They have the ability to do this. They're just choosing not to.
Well, I think USC's situation was, I think, unique. They had a speaker that was going to create
cancel the speaker. And they said that the protesters are mad because the speaker, who was expressing some things that would have been very offensive to Jews, They're canceling that speech. So now the protesters are going to get, well, who cares? Get a different speaker.
I don't necessarily disagree with you. I defer to them. One thing I do applaud USC for is that they cleared those people off that campus. They invited the police on the campus. NYU did the same thing. Columbia and other universities should take a good look, particularly going forward here, what these schools have done. I think to Greg's point, and really to everyone's point around what these protesters are doing and their lack of understanding of the purpose of protests, is to actually have some sort of end game or some sort of conclusion you'd like to reach. If you're not going to talk about the facts in a matter, including that there are American hostages being held by Hamas, and if you're not going to confront those in your movement who say they are Hamas, it's very difficult to get to what might be constructive parts of what you want. I think there's a legitimate case to be made about protecting Palestinians, protecting Gazans, protecting innocent people in these areas, particularly children who don't have access to health care. But you can't and be taken seriously if you don't talk about the calamity and the tragedies that have happened beforehand and the kinds of things that on the other side they're asking for, which are reasonable and fair and, frankly, should be part of your aims as well, which are to get people back reunited with their families if they're still living, the hostages, and figuring out ways in which there can be coexistence in that region. But we can't get there if we don't condemn violence, we don't condemn threats, and we don't make it safe for kids to go to school, regardless if they're paying a dollar on campus or $70,000, what they may be paying at some of these high-end schools that we're watching day in and day out, who can't protect their students.
We started this segment talking about police officers. Just to bring this back sort of to the A block, is President Trump said that if he has this rally at Madison Square Garden, it will be in honor of police officers, firefighters, and he added teachers today as well. Okay, coming up, a scary incident for Kamala Harris after a fight reportedly broke out amongst her Secret Service detail. What is going on? We will fill you in next.
Yeah.
Dave Portnoy is not.
Joe Biden's running probably the most chaotic White House in history, from commander chowing down on staff to a cocaine baggie found near the Situation Room. It's all out of control. And now Secret Service agents are going the full Jerry Springer. One of Kamala's armed protectors reportedly flipping out this week and getting into a physical fight with another agent at Joint Base Andrews while waiting for the VP to arrive. Things got so crazy. The Washington Examiner reports that the agent had to be handcuffed and removed from service. The Secret Service confirms that the agent began displaying behavior their colleagues found distressing, but coy on other details, saying, quote, "This was a medical matter. We will not disclose any further details." Harold Ford Jr., what do you think happened?
I have no idea. I just, what I read.
No, but what do you think happened?
You're trying to lure him into speculation.
Yeah, come on, Harold.
We don't speculate here.
I don't know. I hope that
hasn't stopped
okay.
you before, Harold. Come
I
on.
Hope the woman, no, that's, you're talking about my seatmate here. I don't know. I just read what I read. And it appears that I'm glad that she didn't harm anybody. I hope she didn't harm herself. And I hope that she, whatever help she needs, the Secret Service agent, they're able to get it to.
Okay, wonderful political answer, Harold.
Thank you.
I'll send you a check. That's what I believe. Jeanine?
Okay, this is what happened. Okay, there was another person on the Secret Service detail. By the way, the vice president's detail is where they put all the problem children, okay?
Is that a fact?
That is a fact. You could write it down. And apparently she was having an argument with another person on the Secret Service. She grabbed his phone and started removing apps from the phone. Mm. Why? Was there a relationship there? I don't know, and I will not say.
However, then
she gives the phone back, and the guy says nothing. Nothing. He just moves on. Then she starts chest bumping and she punched out another agent.
Oh.
Now, they said that her hire was part of a diversity, equity, and inclusion push. Hang on, Greg. In response to years of staff shortages and may have required the agency to lower its once strict employment standards. I'm reading that. I'm not saying it. Mm-hmm. Now, I also understand from someone in the know that when she was training in 2016, that she heard voices and everybody ignored it. And there she is.
Oh, she heard voices, Greg. What does that tell you?
Well, voices carry.
Oh, that was good.
Till Tuesday. I don't blame the Secret Service. Yep. Look who they work for. I mean, imagine being a bodyguard for someone whose default system is cluelessness. And your default system as a professional is complete awareness. It doesn't match. right? You are basically babysitting a child. Maybe you need crazy agents to match the VP. But once again, the projection hypothesis comes true. Everything the media painted Trump with, chaos, unruliness, divisive, unprofessional, erratic, criminal, ignorant, has all come true under Joe Biden. From the big ticket items, whether it's safety or security or unity or foreign relations, to the smaller stuff like the disarray and the scuffles and the verbiage. Who knew that everything they would accuse Trump of, they would fulfill? We did. We all did.
We did, didn't we, Dana?
Well, I hope she gets the help she needs. It reminded me of Carrie from Homeland. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. That is kind of like that story. Anybody? Yeah. You remember.
You remember.
Yeah.
I got everything else.
Okay.
But remember the Secret Service story under Obama? Remember they were partying in Colombia and there was a huge problem?
See, now that's a good scandal.
That was a good
scandal. That's a good scandal.
That's true.
That's the kind of scandal
we
like.
She was with the Dallas Police Department and she sued for gender discrimination. The court threw the case out. I don't know why they hired her.
Mm. You have any more thoughts on this?
I'm done.
Any more details? What's her name rhyme with, Judge? We gotta go! Up next, mind-blowing flying cars are here, and we're gonna put Harold in one.
Thank yes.
you. Yes. Yeah, take off, Harold.
Thank you. Thank you.
I brought in Ensure Max Protein with...
Welcome back. The Jetsons made a stream about it, and it's finally here, folks. The flying car company making history this week after conducting the world's first flight with a passenger, a French musician. He called it an amazing experience. It's still fueled by gas, though, but the CEO hopes it'll switch to batteries once the tech's up to speed. Jesse, you started this segment by saying you were going to put me in that thing first. How do you feel about this technology? And
Well, I'm not putting you in it at all, Harold, actually. And I think it's stupid for them to have a French musician to be the first passenger. That's not going to get press. You put someone like me or Greg or any of us around the table, you fly them first, then that gets press. Who knows who is the French musician? Like he doesn't deserve it.
Like a regular white guy.
Like a regular white, an American white guy.
DP, what are your thoughts?
Someone
on this?
Who could go on primetime and talk about
it. Yeah.
I'm for this. The traffic is getting outrageous, but I don't think it would. Obviously, I don't think it would work in New York City, but in Denver, I'd be for it. Mm.
Exclamation point. Is this something you would do?
I call BS on two fronts. One, there is no such thing as a French musician. Let's be honest. Number two, this idea has been around. Go ahead. Google. Flying car is here. It goes back 100 years in Google, when they had Google back then. But it was flying cars were first mentioned in the late 1800s. Every decade, they have a new flying car. I edited a piece for Men's Health in the 90s on the Mueller. It was the M-O-L-L-E-R car, which was supposed to be the next flying car. You'll keep hearing about flying cars. And as you hear about that, what happens? You get drones and AI. It's always a thing you don't see coming. That comes.
You know what? You're right. I just Googled French musicians. Haven't heard of any of them.
Judge, what are your thoughts
Charles
about this?
Charles Aznavour.
Oh, he was a great singer.
You're right. He is on the list.
Never
heard of him, though.
Here's the thing. Like, I've driven a car once, and it kind of went airborne.
That counts.
You don't recommend
it. She's already been in the air.
One more thing.
Our pharmacy has been in bit.
Thank you. One more thing, Judge.
Okay, check out this puppy named Shamrock, who's going viral on social media.
Oh, no.
Shamrock is a golden retriever whose fur is a rare green color. Her coloring is a result of being stained with biliverdin, likely caused by bile in the mother dog's womb. The condition is completely harmless, and she will eventually grow out of the color. Her family says she was born lucky. Then again, her family's Irish.
Then again.
Yes.
Then again.
All right. It's me. Tonight, I'm back on Gutfeld with Hotep Jesus, Jamie Lissau, Cat Tim Tyrus. That's 10 p.m. tonight. Hey, let's do this. Okay, Greg. Greg's Drunk Panda News. There's nothing worse than trying to help a drunk friend home from a bar and they won't listen. This is what happened outside the Panda Express Pub and Grill. They were out on the old panda bars, and he wouldn't go. And he's just, come on, Steve.
Steve
always does this. Steve, your wife's worried about you. You've been doing this every night. What's going on? Hey, I just got one more chance. Let me get up here. Let me get up here. I swear to God, this is it.
Steve, enough.
Steve, no. Anyway. That went on for 3 hours. We're going to play it tonight.
Oh,
Dana.
Okay, I've got Dana's Sports Corner, which I ripped off from Greg, because tonight is my favorite night of the year. It's the NFL draft. And I have some picks for you. Okay, Harold, are you ready for this?
Absolutely.
Number one, Caleb Williams of USC will go number one to the Chicago Bears.
I think you're right.
Jaden Daniels of LSU will go number two to the Washington Commanders.
I think that's a good choice.
Drake May of UNC will go number three to the Patriots.
Curious.
And then
could be JJ.
These three teams are looking to trade up in the first round to grab a QB. That means quarterback. Vikings, Broncos, Raiders.
I'm going to go on the record, Dana, and say this is the first time you've ever read those words out loud.
Well, out loud is true. I want to thank Dan Helly, who is a Fox Sports guester, and thank you for helping me sound really smart.
That sounded good.
J.J. McCarthy's going to crack the top five.
So we'll all right, Jesse.
Okay, so a British marathoner had a glass of wine per mile at the London Marathon. Typical British move, always showing off. 25 glasses of wine while running a marathon, finished under 4 hours.
Are you kidding me?
Seriously.
What is wrong with him?
Tonight. Yeah, because you don't drink. Tonight, Jesse Waters Primetime, Johnny asked about Biden's Uncle Bozy, who was eaten by cannibals.
Oh, I can't wait.
Joe Biden is like a bag of dope. Donald Trump is like cocaine. You want the heroin? Like slow Joe? Or do you want the cocaine?
What do you want, the heroin or the cocaine?
Both of them. I'm in recovery.
Wow. Johnny, there it is.
Harold, we don't have time for you, but can I just...
Hey, it's Clay Travis. Join me for Outkick the Show as we dive deep into a mix of topics. New episodes available Monday to Friday on your favorite podcast platform and watch directly on outkick.com/watch.
Listen to The Five ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.